have something for us to talk about today, and we're going to call this teaching Keep Believing If There Is Still the Negative. Keep believing if there is still the negative. The reason that I'm addressing this is because we often find, don't we, in this walk, that Satan doesn't release his hold until the end. And God, in fact, allows him to do that. And there probably is a reason for that, because where God allows the enemy to buffet for a season, and remember, God is in control in everything, but he does give him permission to just go so far. We know this with regard to Job. He questioned God and he said, this man, if I buffet him, will deny you. And God allowed him access. And we all know the story of Job. But he could only go so far. He said, you will not destroy his life. And there is often a reason why it seems that in our trials and in our battles, that the enemy doesn't seem to give up until the very end. And there is a reason for that, because often God is working deliverance through those trials. And much of that deliverance is in our mind and thinking. And God is dealing still with the negative. And I want to go into this to show why, in God's infinite wisdom, he allows this to happen. But there are also some other reasons for us to consider why God permits him to have a hold until right to the end, because it's about his glory. So that none of self can get in the way. So that we don't take second best. That we keep in faith and warfare until fully manifested. And that's another reason why God will allow these trials to go on like they do, because it's about the glory of God. And the glory of God says, I'm going to be glorified in this. I am not going to take second best. In no way are you going to take any glory to yourself. It will be all of me. And that's why it's by faith that we receive the fulfillment of God's promises. Now let's turn, if we will, to something very familiar in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. James chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a man unstable in all his ways. And of course, we know that the book of James is all about the fact that without works, you cannot call it faith. And he's very hot on the fact that faith must be visible, not just a mental faith or a talking faith, but a faith that is inspired by action through the work of the Holy Spirit. So he's very hot on that. He's also very hot on the fact that faith endures all trials and temptations and whatever God is working or doing or exposing. So, of course, we know all of that, but we're talking about today, keep believing if there is still the negative. And there probably still is in our mind and thinking. And it comes out in our confession or even our actions. You see, firstly, the reason that we're dealing with this today, as the Lord has shown me, that if you are still negative, this will always lead to depression. And from depression, it's a loss of peace, apathy. You can be lethargic and it causes procrastination and so on. So in other words, if you are negative and holding this still in your mind and thinking, you're all the while struggling to keep up with the walk, to keep up with God, to keep up with the teaching and so on. That is what a procrastinator is. And generally, that is depression that is working. And depression often is because of negative thinking. Now, even psychologists know that. But we also have, with that, attitudes. And I remember years and years back, Brother Freeman saying that behind an attitude, very often, there is a demon. And I think he was about right with that. So you see, attitudes, they're interesting things that because they can work through mental and emotional things. They can, in a sense, characterize a person. A person very often can be characterized by their attitudes. You can characterize a person if there's a lot of anxiety and fear and worry. It comes out in their gestures. It comes out in their facial expressions. It comes out in their actions and so forth. This is what we mean by attitudes. And often our attitudes affect our approach toward things. Attitudes can even form your destiny, your future. Wrong attitudes can keep you out of the perfect will of God. And this is why we address these things like we do. Because God wants us to inherit what the overcomers are destined for. But God has got to deal with these attitudes. And as I've said, that very often behind an attitude is a demonic force that is oppressing and holding you in a negative manner. We know the scriptures clearly tell us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind, the brain, and the heart are in connection. You cannot separate them. And that's why whatever is going on in the mind will eventually come out in the actions. And of course, this is where James addresses this because he's addressing the fact that faith without works is dead. And so this is why we read to you at the beginning here, verses 5-7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. In other words, he's saying, if you are not sure, if you are battling, you're not quite sure how God is working and leading. I'm aware that God is trying to get my attention. I'm aware that he wants to heal me. There's much he needs to do in my mind and my thinking, but I lack wisdom, understanding with regard to it all. And this is what he's saying here. But let that person ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all things, and sadly there is such instability in the house of God amongst Christendom. Because you have to humble yourself. You have to mean business before God. You have to come before him. Because at the end of the day, you know that only God can open your ears and eyes and heart. Only God can hone in to what is affecting you in your mind and your thinking and your attitudes. This is why he says, put on the mind of Christ. We are to put that on. In other words, we are to ask, we're to make that our confession. Sometimes when I'm aware, I'm under confusion and I'm not sure, the first thing that comes out of my mind, whatever's going on in my mind and thinking, the word says, I have the mind of Christ. I have put it on. That is my confession. And I wait until God clarifies. Why am I saying this? Because James says, you're double-minded. You change your opinion. And there are many Christians who are changing their opinion. Their discernment, what they thought was of God, or maybe it isn't of God. In other words, they're not reliable. And sadly, there are people that you don't really want to listen to too much because they're not reliable in what they give out because they waver to and fro. They don't have that discernment that they should have. They're not hearing what the Spirit is saying as they should have. And it comes out. And very often you're finding their problem is they've got such wrong thinking and attitudes. And we can have those wrong thinking and attitudes towards God and towards his love. And towards his chastening over our lives. We can have wrong attitudes over these meetings. And the word that comes out, oh, it's just another meeting, another message. Heard it all before. And we can adopt those attitudes, and some have, and they're no longer with us. God has to let them go. And very often, it's wrong thinking, it's wrong attitudes, because they've not allow God to deal with them, because very often there is a demon behind them, sadly. And this is why we have to approach the word, these promises, by faith. When the word of God is opened up, when God calls me to assemble together with my brothers and sisters, it's not only to meet with God and to glorify him and to have fellowship, but this is healing for me. It's teaching for me. All the while God still calls us together, we still need deliverance until he finally comes for us in the clouds and calls us home. We're all still in the process of deliverance. This is why the word says we're being changed from glory into glory. And it's a long process. I wish it was a lot quicker. But I said at the beginning, the reason that God permits at times the enemy to have a hold right until the end, because it's about God's glory. And he knows how to glorify his name. And it can be tiresome. You think, how long does this go on for, Lord? When will there be any end or relief or whatever? But you've got to guard that, because wrong attitudes can attach to that very quickly. And then resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and all those things start to attach behind it all. So we can see, can we not, how God in his mercy and grace is delivering us and how he's showing us that he can guard our minds. It's like a fortress. He places a fortress around us and around the mind, because we know that the mind is under attack. The mind is the battlefield. We see it in the world, in society. The enemy knows how to deceive most people with lies, propaganda, and all those things. And they all go along like lost sheep, and even a lot of Christians believe it and fall for it. This is why we have to guard our minds, what we hear and what we see, because much out there is the lie. Remember, Satan is the god of this world and deceiving many, and he has power over what they see and hear unless God intervenes. But some Christians get that and others don't. And the reason being is because there's still those wrong thinking, wrong attitudes behind it. What does Mark 9 and 23 tell us? You know this very well. And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So there is the limit taken off of faith to believe. And you may be battling, you may have gone through this week where you battled in the area of the mind and wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, or bitterness, or unforgiveness, or you can't get free from the past. It's the mind, the thinking. Did you know unforgiveness is wrong attitudes? And God has to deliver us through all of that. And that's why he says, go to James chapter 1, 5 to 7. And there it is. There is your problem. Ask in faith, and God will start to work that deliverance. Now, of course, that's nothing new to this assembly. We have labored in that one many, many times over the years. We also know another great promise in Mark 11, 23, 24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. But he then has to deal with wrong attitudes, wrong thinking, because here it is in verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Absolutely clear. If you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you, and that's fearful. What's he dealing with there? He's dealing with attitudes. He's dealing with the thinking, the mind. There are demons behind that, working, buffeting. And he's already said in verses 23, 24, that your faith can speak to those mountains and be removed. And you probably tried. You thought you were in faith, but nothing happened. It didn't work. Do you know why it didn't work? Because it's the mind, the attitude, the thinking that God has to get right. And this is why we keep coming. We keep listening, for faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, so that we get that deliverance in the mind, the heart, the thinking. And then we can start praying these prayers of faith. as our confession lines up with the Word of God. This is not rocket science. This is what is dealing with so much unbelief in contemporary Christianity. Why there's so little faith, and why churches still rely so much on the arm of the flesh. Because the attack is in the mind, the thinking. And how we are seeing that now in this last generation. Man's mind, Romans 1 tells us, has become reprobate. His thinking, his mind. Society, the world is pagan. These are all attacks on the mind. What people hear, what they're putting their ears to, and so forth. And this is why I say, be very on your guard. Mainstream media, on your guard. Much of it is propaganda. What we hear out of governments now is propaganda, sadly. And this is why we're called to pray for our leaders, our governments. Because many of them are criminals who are in operation in places of authority. And our prayers are praying the mercy of God. We're not to criticize. We're not to go on these marches and so on. That's not what we're called for. We're called to get on our knees, to pray, to supplicate, to get into spiritual warfare. And again, I come back to this, why so many Christians are hindered in spiritual warfare because they waver, which James speaks about. And the reason that they waver, because they don't have that discernment that they should have. And they don't have that discernment because they're still putting their ears to the arm of the flesh, to what man is saying. And we have to hear what the Holy Spirit says. We're not to listen to man. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit. He has come back to us. He said, I will send the Comforter to you, who will teach you and lead you and guide you. Christ has come back to us in the Spirit to teach us and lead us and guide us. Why is it so many professing believers don't see that or believe that? Because the mind, the thinking, the attitudes are wrong. It's very much like a computer. I've said it before. If you put wrong information will keep coming out from time to time until it's corrected. And it's the same with us. And this is why God has to do this deliverance. Much of our meetings are coming together. It's God delivering us in our mind, our thinking. Because attitudes are often behind that, you see. What does John 14 say? Again, looking at these promises, just to remind us that they're all there, they haven't changed, they haven't gone away. John 14 and verse 12 onwards. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I remember when I began to see those words and started to study them and everything in the light in my early Christian times, a lot of that was applied for God to work deliverance in my mind and thinking. We all too often want material things. Or give me that car, give me that home, give me that job that I'm after, and give me, give me, give me. And God certainly does. But I saw much of that in asking for my mind, to have the right thinking, to have my mind renewed for the glory of God. And then everything else stems from that. But he says we're going to go on to do greater works than even Christ. Now that's mind-boggling, but there was only one person then at that time. Whereas now there are many upon the world, walking, believing, confessing. So the potential is for greater works to happen and to be achieved, and will be achieved. And it's done by asking in faith, believing, without doubting. And you say to me, oh, Pastor, you know, I battle with doubts and so forth. And you're, well, a lot of your doubt still is because God is getting right attitude and thinking in your mind. It's not rocket science to work it out. What does Hebrews 11 tell us? That shows us very clearly that our walk hasn't changed even with the saints. Hebrews 11, 32 to 34. 32 to 34. What more shall I say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopping the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Look at that. They're in spiritual warfare. And that is what God is wanting from us, for our faith as overcomers. But you're no good in warfare if you do not have that discernment. You've got to know your enemy. And only God can reveal the enemy. Only God can expose what the powers of darkness are working at this time. This is why you need the gifts of discernment and wisdom, or the word of knowledge that opens up what might be working. Many times I ask when I go into warfare, Lord, what demonic forces am I up against? Please show me, so that they can be named sometimes. Sometimes the Spirit requires us to name those demonic forces. And we don't always do it because we lack wisdom. We are wavering. We are not sure, oh, I'll rely on the pastor, or I'll rely on somebody else. I'm sure they'll have the discernment. Well, why are you not having the discernment? Why is it God isn't showing you? And do you know why? Because you've got wrong attitudes. And those attitudes are keeping you ineffectual. They are causing procrastination. They're stopping you from being able to open your mouth and rejoice and praise the Lord and to be used by Him. It's so easy to sit back and just let the usual few do the work. That is wrong, certainly as an overcomer. And look at these people here, how they walked. Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. Did you know that your prayers, your intercessions are working righteousness? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for God's kingdom to come to establish what? Righteousness on the earth. And you can start to implement that now in your prayers and intercessions and warfare. God has given the church the keys to bind and to loose the powers of darkness. But I find very few believers really believe this. Or leave it just to the few. Oh, well, she's good at warfare, or he's good at warfare. Leave it with them. No, no. That's wrong thinking, wrong attitude. Here am I, Lord, use me. That's what God wants out of us. And we're held in this weakness because we still hold on to these negative thoughts and thinking. And I know that even the world says that old habits die hard, and they do. Do you know there's an old saying, and I've said it many, many times, but this old saying really epitomizes the thinking of people. To one is poison, to the other it's life. And it's the thinking, you see. And so some people react in the way that they do, and others don't react. And sometimes you think, well, why are they reacting in such a way? I don't understand at all. What you're seeing there is attitudes behind it, wrong thinking behind it. And this is why the enemy likes to blow things out of proportion. He's very good at doing that. And he works that through mobs, through individuals, or even governments, or whatever it is. He's working on the mind, and he uses those attitudes toward it. And that's why we're in deliverance like we are. No, the enemy's got you when you've got wrong attitudes, when you're negative. He uses it when you're tired spiritually. He uses it in your confession, in your expectation, or in your zeal and your joy and so forth, because the devil doesn't want you having the joy of the Lord that is his strength. Because the joy of the Lord gets rid of him. Joy and praise and worship puts the enemy to flight. That's why when you're in prayer or in your closet, and sometimes you've been in spiritual warfare, give time. Don't get up and finish too quick. Start to praise and worship the Lord. Start to sing about the blood of the Lamb or whatever it is. That'll put him to flight. He hates it. We've got to do it God's way. But what stops us is this wrong thinking and attitude. Did you know something? When joy and praise goes, they are clear signs when you are not looking to the Lord. These are clear signs that you're getting tired, fatigued. How much longer, Lord? I don't know I can endure this for much longer. The attitudes are being exposed. Now, this is a time when you can confess that and bring that out into the light, and God will heal. He'll touch that. And then you find that joy and that praise just rises up within you. You see, when you're looking to Jesus, fully looking to him, that is, you don't ask how long. And that's why Satan becomes very vocal through the waiting period. You probably hear more from the enemy through your waiting on God than anything else. That is where he's probably the most vocal. And he's getting you to question, well, God, has he really heard me? Do I need to remind him again? Or do I need to change my prayer? Or whatever it would be. Don't entertain it. God heard. God is at work. All he wants is you just to worship him, to look to him, and to praise and thank him that it's done in Jesus' name. See, faith will always look in anticipation. Faith, we know, we've given this analogy many, many times. You know that there is a letter on the way because your friend says they've sent it. What you are doing, you are waiting for it. And each morning, when you hear the letterbox, you go to that letterbox and you say, is that letter today going to arrive? You're not doubting that it's not going to come. You're looking, you're waiting for it. That is what faith is. That is what these promises are. The moment you confess in faith, you have received. The manifestation of that, what you're believing for, comes visibly in God's right time. And he delays that very often because he has to work a deliverance. He's using that. This is why I always say, we're all waiting in faith for things. And I've said, you've heard me say this many times, when it finally manifests, you will find that the picture is bigger than you thought. God incorporated so much more with your faith, your mustard seed of faith. It's made me stronger. It's made me more positive. I've heard that many times out of confessions. Why? Because God used that to work a deliverance in the mind. That's why. So don't ever limit him what he can do. It's always bigger than you think. Remember this as I close. Our whole Christian life is in many ways waiting upon the Lord. And if we do not see that part of that waiting is so that God saves the last Gentile before he comes to judge, then that is worth waiting. God revealed that to me once when I was getting impatient. I was saying, Lord, you know, there's so much to wait for in this walk. You know, here we are waiting for the rapture. There's going to be a waiting in heaven. The souls of those who come out of martyrdom have to wait under the altar for 1,000 years. I was looking at all of this. These are all areas of waiting, waiting. And I was getting frustrated. And God in his mercy just impressed to me strongly. He said, the reason I wait is so that the last soul will be saved. For who wants to go into a life of eternal torment? And I said, forgive me, Lord. How selfish, how narrow-minded, how insular. You see, God shows it's a bigger, bigger picture. That's why we have to have a vastness, an understanding of God. We're just scratching the surface to the kingdom of God. But in his mercy, he opens it up to us more and more all the time. But what was God dealing with me? He was dealing with wrong thinking, wrong attitudes. And the enemy was pressing on that. So I'm sure all of us are aware of all of this. And this is why we have that wonderful analogy, don't we, of he is the great potter and we're the clay. And he's moulding these vessels, vessels of honour, to be filled, to be used for his glory. But let him do that work of healing and deliverance in the mind. And keep confessing, I have the mind of Christ. I have put it on. And whatever the situation, whatever's exposing or manifesting, I have his mind. And he's renewing my mind. The same as he's renewing us in mind, body, and spirit. That's the power of the Spirit. That's the power of his word. And he doesn't want us wavering. He wants us to discern. He wants us to know when he calls us, whether it's for prayer or whatever it would be, we have the mind of God in this situation. We have the discernment. I'm hearing what God is saying. You see, faith needs to hear. And it comes as we read and we hear it preached. That's how it works. Because those that waver, as James talks about, is they're not hearing properly as they should be. Something is going wrong with the hearing. And so if you're not hearing, you can't release faith because you're not sure. And very often what's behind that is wrong thinking, wrong attitudes. So let the Lord do that work and that deliverance, because he loves us and he's purchased us with his blood at Calvary. And he has predestined us and purposed that we should be these overcomers in the last day who walk by faith and not by sight. May the Lord have mercy and grace over us. Hallelujah.